what's happening? I mean, what's popping? You crazy part two people? I want to start part two out because in real time, well, actually very close to an important announcement from Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah.
The number one football recruit in the state of Michigan, who will likely pick Michigan or maybe.
I don't know. There's some rumblings. There's some late rumblings.
He's talking Florida State too, right?
I think it was. I know Ohio State was one.
Ooh.
He's a stud. People love this guy. But Michigan also picked up a wide receiver earlier this week. So
I would like to know, would this be the first hyphenated name player on Michigan's team, or do they have currently a couple hyphenated names?
Well, they had, let me think, off the top of my head, they had Logan Tully Thomas, who got booted off. He's the one that made the sex tape. Oops!
Oh.
Remember that whole thing?
What was the sex tape of?
It was him and another chick, Snapchat. He got booted off the team.
And she didn't know he was taping it? Or just the fact that it got out there?
I don't think she knew. I mean, he was tried and everything, but he got booted off pretty quick.
Oh, boy. So he wasn't a good player.
No, he was supposed to be really good. You know what's funny? That, if you really want to know, he was supposed to come in and be really good, and then it was like, why is this guy not playing? Like, what's his deal?
Oh.
And then he was supposed to play this year, but until he got booted off last
year. Okay, any other hyphenated names besides him?
Oh, man, I know there is. I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Because
I know there's definitely at least one more. Here, I'll look it up.
I've noticed, it's funny, I've been watching most of the recruiting stories, at least when they talk about Michigan and Big Ten, and there are a number of hyphenated name guys coming into the league, but there are just so many in the last few years I've noticed. Usually during March Madness is when it drives me crazy because I'm watching so many teams, and I'm stunned. Why are there so many 20-year-old black guys with hyphenated last names? It's making me crazy. This didn't happen 10 years ago. It wasn't a phenomenon. Isn't it a new phenomenon?
Oh, Juwan Bushel-Beatty is one.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Okay, so what is up with suddenly all these hyphenated names, black college kids? What is that? What is up with that?
Sociologically, I'm wondering if they value the family name in some different way. There's some pride attached to it. But
they didn't 10 years ago.
There's also Jalen Kelly Powell is on the team.
So there's three guys.
There's also there's another.
Are these all current players?
Yeah. Elise Mbembase. I can never pronounce his name. But that's, you know.
That's four.
Daddy's name.
Four hyphenated names.
Wow.
I believe
that
so.
Five if they sign Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah.
Now
hopefully.
That's a cool one. I like that.
I like the name too, but I just want to
go by DPJ, man.
Can someone explain this? Can someone
There's
do a story
There's another one
on
too. Corey Malone Hatcher.
Oh, my God.
How about the basketball team?
Off the top of my head, well, there's Mahmoud Abdul Rahman. Wait, M-A-A-R. Abdul Rahman is his last name. Muhammad Ali Abdul Rahman.
But right? Is that a hyphenated name or is that just a Muslim name?
Well, there's a hyphen in it.
But it's not. It's different. It's not the same.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's I think that's right.
Can someone, okay, I'm speaking to all journalists, can you please do a story on why there are so many hyphenated names in college athletics now? I want to know what's going on. This is different. It's
Fred Wright Jones, the walk-on from East Village.
Okay, there's another one. What the I mean, Jesus.
It's got to be really hard.
I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it.
My honest opinion is there's two parents that are, although no, I'm looking at Fred Wright Jones, and he's the son of Fred Jones Jr. and Jennifer Jones. So I don't know who Wright is.
I mean, there were these, whatever the circumstances are, it's not like anything has changed that dramatically in the last 20 years, but suddenly there are the hyphenated names. What is up?
I might get a hyphenated name.
Is Y Forum still around?
I don't know if Y Forum.
Remember Y Forum?
It's been a lot.
If you have questions about anything racial.
Anything.
Oh, right. Yeah,
racial, anything.
It's not white kids. It's black kids.
Uh-huh.
I mean, have you seen a white kid with a hyphenated name?
No.
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
It's totally like East Coast rich people. Biltmore, Vanderbilt, or
but
something.
Mark, you're
like
racking
that.
Your brain.
No, I know, but there's a really successful college athlete who's definitely has a hyphenated name, a white guy, and it's it had to be somebody Michigan played because I remember that name, and I remember thinking, what name?
Was it football?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're doing to distinguish themselves. You know, they takes up more space, chews up more.
Well, that's true.
Page length.
Y Form has now become daretoask.com.
Oh, okay. No, same concept. Dare to ask, Mark.
It's not
dare
ask,
to ask.
It's AKS. Dare to AKS.
They're to X.
What? Oh.
They make a joke.
News, talk and news about our differences. By Y Forum. Hmm. Blog topics. You want me to pick one? Race, ethnicity?
Well, just...
Oh, hyphenated names.
Yeah, hyphenated names.
Let's see if it's in there.
Just say, what up with the hyphenated names?
First question under racial is, do all black people know each other? Really? It comes from Johnson City, Tennessee.
Do all black people know each other?
That's just like Yelp reviews. Those are people performing.
Why am I always the cool black guy? I noticed when I've gone to almost all white college bars that I'm the man. It's almost like I'm a celebrity, as in, hey, it's the black guy. What's that about?
It's hilarious.
Catholic guy, 23, Silver Spring, Maryland.
Huh. My roommate in college was like that.
He was the black guy?
He was the black guy. 6'7", basketball player. Well, big money. Wow. Big John Green, otherwise known as Big Money. And he was always the man whenever he showed up. And he had a lot of white friends, so he did stick out. But people got really fired up for him. He was the man.
6'7".
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. And Big Money is a cool, that's a cool nickname.
It came from Big Money Got No Money. That's what he always said. But he liked to gamble. That's why he was called Big Money.
Wow.
He'd gamble on, let's see, backgammon, cards. He liked to, pool.
Anything that was going on around you guys?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yep. We had a real gambling stretch, too, and I live with these three guys who all like to gamble, and we used to play, for example, we'd have to play a spades game to decide who was going to clean up the kitchen or
anything.
Who's going
to
buy dinner.
Oh, geez. If only chicks knew how to do that kind of thing to game in order to decide things, there would not have been the bitch fest that there was.
Here's a new user question. Do Italian-American men have bigger penises?
Yes.
Yeah, that's from Joey Marasso. I mean, bigger than other white ethnic groups. It's one of those things that's talked about in a joking way. I'm of partial Italian descent and I have a good-sized dick. And then in parentheses, thickness.
Never heard that rumor.
I'm just talking about the thickness, just the girth. But I want to know if it's a genetic characteristic for men with Italian blood. I mean, really?
And what's the answer?
There's no response to it.
The answer is, get over yourself.
Yeah. You want me to type that in? I got to log in
sure.
to do that.
Log in and ask about hyphenated names.
Yeah.
I was watching a college football game the other day, and I noticed three more black players with hyphenated names. I've been noticing this phenomenon frequently. What up with that?
Here's a question from a 78-year-old woman. Why do black people, at least in Jacksonville, Florida, tend to walk in the street? Even pushing baby strollers when there are clear sidewalks on both sides.
Jeez. Black people don't like sidewalks.
Apparently. At least in Jacksonville, Florida.
They did that in Buffalo. I was in Buffalo once. People walk in the street. But
really?
The reason is because it snows so much there.
Oh.
Oh. You have to. The streets are the only thing that are clear. So
78-year-old ladies on Y Forum. Hilarious.
You know, it's funny. That was like a new post, and it was from 2015. So I think
The Y Forum is really losing its power.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. Oh, I know what I wanted to do. I was going to plug Trudy is going to be interviewing Sebastian Bach.
Yeah.
From Skid Row for your podcast.
Yeah.
Yes, Trudy has a podcast with WCSX.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about this yet.
Jealous?
She's not the only one to cheat on us with other podcasts.
Uh-huh. No. Oh, yeah, that. That's really lame. We'll have to tell you about that after the podcast, Trudy, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Joe, do you know I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I want to plug that podcast.
Oh, boy. The Sebastian Bach book, though, came, and it has a the dust cover, has a poster on the other side.
Of Sebastian Bach.
Bach.
He is one all-time sexiest.
He is one pretty man, isn't he?
He's like...
Look how pretty he is.
His hair is like real super long and blonde, and then he's got his tight gold pants on in this photo.
I have that same pair of pants.
I'm sure you do. I knew you had those.
They hang a little lower.
But I whipped it out and showed it to Joe, and he was like, oh, God. You know, like that just revulsion.
Why? Let me see for a sec.
It's pretty tooly.
Yeah, well,
it's totally
being hit with that, not knowing what that is. You know,
when you open it up, it's like it looks like there's a chick.
Yeah,
it does look like a chick.
It's like a pinup.
Yeah,
He's a pretty man.
He is very
he's
pretty.
He's got lipstick on, too.
He lived in this area, though, for a while.
When he was a kid, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when he was like 12 or 13 years old,
he left home. You guys were taking a little gander at the book, though, before we started today. And what was the – there was a couple of gossipy things. There was a Christina Applegate
connection. I didn't know he dated Christina Applegate.
I would have never thought that. But then when we were talking about it, we remember that Christina Applegate is mentioned in two books for being at that River Phoenix death at Johnny Depp's bar.
Oh, that's right.
And in both books – both the people who wrote the books were saying that Christina Applegate was running around screaming, "River Phoenix is dead!" I mean, she really sounded like a ditzy blonde.
You couldn't shut her up. She kept doing it over and over again.
Kind of. It was kind of like she wanted to be the one who everyone found out
from. The town crier.
Yeah, it just sounded really lame, I thought.
She met up with him with her mom and her aunt in Paris. Weird. They flew to Paris to hang out with him.
With her mom?
And aunt, yeah.
The fuck?
It sounds like he really thought Christina Applegate was the one, it seems like the one that got away, but he was banging two other chicks in Toronto, so he couldn't
didn't
bang
have time.
Her. Yeah.
He couldn't slot her in.
He's banging two chicks in Toronto, so he didn't want to cheat on the two chicks in Toronto? Isn't he already cheating on the two chicks in Toronto by being with the other one in Toronto?
The next day, Christina and I spent sightseeing in Paris, went to the Eiffel Tower and took the elevator to the top. It was here where we talked about our fledgling relationship. Christina explained to me that she wanted to get married and get a place in middle America, Wisconsin or Iowa or thereabouts. She wanted us to have a farm, raise animals and stuff.
What?
And stuff. I don't think he had an editor for this book.
I already found a grammatical error. Or maybe the editor wanted to speak in his voice, possibly. Yeah.
I don't think Christina Applegate thought that one through.
No.
No. He says, I did not want this. I was busy on the road. I had Maria and Paris back in Toronto. The more I hung out with Christina, the more guilty I started to feel. That night, Christina's mom and aunt organized a huge dinner in France at a beautiful restaurant. We had such a fun time. I sat there and had dinner and drinks with the three Applegate women, and felt very much a part of them that night. I could have settled down with Christina, but that would have required me to actually settle down. We went back to our Parisian suite. I remembered it was raining. We flipped on the TV. It was time to get it on.
Get it on.
Only there was you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
Only there was one problem. I couldn't do it. This is bullshit. Sex, to me, has often been largely subconscious act. If I know you are mine, I am yours, and I'm the most sexual person you could ever imagine to be around.
No, you're not.
I want it all the time, every day, many times a day. That is how I naturally
shut up.
But if I get an inkling that you are not mine or that I am not yours, I shut down.
If you want multiple boilovers every day.
No matter how hard I tried, I could not get Maria or Paris out of my head that night. It made for an extremely awkward night. I laid in bed listening to the rain on the rooftop above. I tried to talk myself into the situation for the good of the band, I told myself. Plus, I really did like her. I guess. Christina went back home.
Help the band if he nails Christina Applegate.
I think it was more phrase for him and her.
Oh.
The band being not necessarily Skid Row. Okay. That's how I took it. Christina went back home. I went back on the road. We drifted apart after that. My last contact I can remember with her was being extremely drunk in the lobby of the Riot House on Sunset Boulevard. It had been months since we've seen each other. I was drunk and vulgar to her on the phone. She was extremely disgusted by me and let me know this on the phone.
Oh, he cares so much about her and about his girls back in Toronto that he can't manage to sleep with her. But then he calls, he lays in a drunken, vulgar phone call to her, and that's okay.
This is how the phone.
I'm banging all over the house, and I heard people screaming and screaming.
This is how the phone call went. He writes, "How could you do this? What? Huh? What do you mean? Let's get together. Let's just party." He writes with a bunch of Y's on it.
Ass.
I slurred on the other end of the phone. "Well, thanks. I don't really think so." Click. Wow. He says he feels guilty about it to this day.
He does, as much as he loves himself in that that book. He doesn't admit to having bogus feelings and being kind of an asshole sometimes.
any you can care to remember or you cared to remember?
He quit Kid Wicked, his band in Toronto, and he left him high and dry so that he could go with the Bon Jovi factor that eventually got him into Skid Row, so he felt bad ditching.
Wait, how did Bon Jovi help create Skid Row? What do you do with Bon Jovi?
He was trading his tapes around all over, and Doc McGee got a hold of one, and so eventually Bon Jovi was like, "Yeah, I dig you guys, so I'm going to put you in a band with some friends of mine." So,
Bon Jovi
was sort of the motivator for all of it.
Crazy.
But yeah. You know what? I didn't listen to a whole lot of Skid Row, but
I never liked Skid Row. I don't know their music very well, though.
I don't either, but they were diligent. I mean, he was like, they practiced constantly, so I don't know. Must have. What?
18 well, life, Mark you know.
I'm trying to remember, was Skid Row song. When grunge came along, was Skid Row just left in the dust?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It was
big
over,
time.
Basically.
For all hair bands.
However.
Except Motley Crue.
When 2003, 2005 roll along, wouldn't it be time for hair band nostalgia?
Well, he still toured. Yeah. He toured.
I mean, like Poison, for example. Poison draws like crazy. Why would Skid Row not have, or are they just not that big?
They were not nearly as big as Poison, but they were big. They had their moment for a few years. You want to hear another fun story that involves Motley Crue?
Yeah, if I don't have to listen to any more Skid Row music.
Well, then never mind, man.
He's supposedly a fantastic singer, but I mean, I can't hear a lot of range there, but.
Oh, Trudy, come on.
Sorry.
If you sing another song, I'd like it. But.
In 1989, we did not know any other way to live other than being drunk, high, pretty much all the time. The one thing we did live, the only thing we lived to do was rock and roll and fuck.
Yeah.
That's a sentence in a book.
Nice. Rock and roll and fuck. That's all we do.
That's how we did. True. That's
rock, we fuck.
I'm not lying. The next line in the book is, that's all we did.
We fuck, we rock. We rack, we fuck.
In every city around the globe, we went to Amsterdam, Holland. Before we got there, Doug Thaler, the Motley Crue manager, sent a detailed letter to our manager, Scott McGee, about what a rotten influence Skid Row was on Motley Crue.
If they're not rocking, they're fucking. If they're not fucking, they're rocking.
The irony is palpable.
That's more than rocking and fucking.
Motley Crue were the biggest band of the... was the baddest of the bad. And here was their manager sending our manager a letter telling us to stay away from the crew. It was understandable because they were sober for the first time. However, I did not understand it at all. Can you imagine Motley Crue sober?
No.
Not really.
No. We wanted
I'm just trying to imagine this crew's been hanging around Skid Row too much. It's only the crew.
If we're not fucking, we're rocking. If we're not rocking, we're fucking. I don't care if we're the crew or the band. All we do is rock and fuck. Just like Skid Row.
Sebastian Bogdan writes, we wanted to party with them so bad. One night we were driving through the Swiss Alps, Austria, mountains.
Wait, they wanted to party with
Motley Crue. Motley Crue was huge to them. Like, you know, because Motley Crue was, what, 80?
It just sounds so juvenile to say, we wanted to party with them so bad.
We wanted to fuck with them. We wanted to rock and fuck with them. Mountains on either side of the bus reaching straight into the sky. God, he really knows how to paint a picture.
I know.
We were following Motley Crue's bus at a truck stop outside Vienna. Nikki and Tommy ran onto
what are they doing in there, rocking or fucking? I know it's one of the two. I think they're fucking. I see a lot of movement in there.
That smells like fucking.
You guys have been fucking in here, haven't you? I can see you're not rocking.
I don't smell rocking.
I don't hear
fucking.
Any music.
Oh, God.
Who's fucking back there?
At a truck stop outside.
How are we going to do this interview now?
Nikki, yeah, you're going to ask him. You got to ask
my
him.
Head.
You got to ask him about bus. That exact line, Trudy.
Okay, I will.
Nikki and Tommy ran onto our bus. Hey, motherfuckers, what are you doing? That was their greeting.
Oh, yeah, class.
We were completely destroyed as usual. Rob Afuso, our drummer, made a lame attempt at humor. Hey, Motley Crue, can we get you guys something? Do you guys want some milk? How about some cookies? Because they're sober.
Whoa.
He was trying to be funny, but Nikki and Tommy were completely pissed. Their reputations were built on partying as much as music, after all. They turned around and...
Hey, we rock and we fuck. That's all we do. You fucking are drinking back here. I don't see anybody rocking or fucking.
The next day, we were told not to make any more milk and cookie jokes at the expense of Motley Crue.
They went to management and complained.
One day, Tommy came into our dressing room. I think it was in Finland. He had been to Amsterdam the day before and brought back the most outlandish porn we had ever seen. He showed us Bestiality magazine's fat porn pee, stuff I didn't even know existed. I made a mental note to go check that shit out myself as soon as I could.
Oh, God.
Sebastian.
This book is gold, Trudy.
I know, I can't wait to get a copy, I'm telling you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
This is big at you.
Ballad.
This is big at our school dances.
I'm
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that range, Trudy.
Okay, all right, all right. You can hit it.
If you sing another song, I'd love it.
He went to Celebrity Fat Camp.
He did.
He did.
What?
He apparently put on some weight there. He was really skinny most of us. Didn't you guys talk to him at one point, though?
Oh, yeah.
Was he on The Apprentice?
Yes, you... wait a second.
Or am I confusing him with Vince Neil?
Vince Neil is on the upcoming Apprentice.
He is.
Yeah. I saw his face when they were showing Arnold with the Apprentice group, and I just saw Vince Neil's fat face in there somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Jay, where'd you print this off of? Why do so many younger males have hyphenated last names?
Two of them. Just two different sites.
The Hacker's Paradise?
Just a forum.
What's the answer?
The answer is... My assumption is the feminist movement is empowering more women to either hyphenate their last names or not change their... Oh, no, it says younger males. Hold on. I know someone that is ultra-feminist and wanted her husband to change his last name to hers.
What? Oh, Granholm.
Yeah, Granholm Mulhern. Mm-hmm. Yep. My brother-in-law actually did that. I still remember how lame it is. The question, I'm young, play sports, and two have a hyphenated last names because in Mexico it is common for a child to get both parents' surnames. Yeah, these kids aren't all Mexican. True.
They're not.
The thing I watch now as far as sports is a ton of males with hyphenated last names. What's with this trend? I've seen a lot where it's just parents that aren't married or married with hyphenated names and was passed to the child. Take, for example, the punter from the University of Georgia, Gordon Eli Kelso. His parents, when they were married, kept their last names the same. When he was born, he got his mother and father's last name hyphenated, Eli Kelso. When his sister was born, they switched the order and her last name was Kelso Eli.
Oh, my God.
God damn it. What are people doing out there?
Well, maybe
the world lost its mind, its collective fucking mind.
Maybe it's like growing your hair really long. It's just making a longer name, you know, makes more of you.
Oh, yeah, it makes more of you. That's true. Yeah, if you love yourself a lot and you can make more of I think that's referenced
that
here somewhere. Hold on. Here's another answer to the same question. Why do some guys have hyphenated last names? It's usually when both the husband and wife want to keep their... Some men have hyphenated last names for the same reason that women do it, to draw extra attention to themselves, because that's just the way they are.
Yeah.
If they could get away with it, they wear clown makeup and lead a parade down the street, tooting their own horns and holding a sign, potentially declaring themselves to be extra hyphen, specially hyphen, unique. I understand why feminists do it, but I'll never understand why any man would want a hyphenated name. Yeah, I don't.
It's just a name.
Well, that's me. It's just, I mean, all of a sudden, all these guys have hyphenated last names, and there's no explanation for it. Can the announcer just once go, by the way, when Harris Smith scored that bucket, you might have wondered, why is he Harris Smith? Why isn't he just Harris or Smith? Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like we need an explanation for this from someone.
Yeah.
Couldn't Game Day do a little story on it?
Yeah.
What's your name?
My uneducated guess that has always been the dude has a stepfather he wants to honor, if you will. Not sure if that's the case or not, but perhaps.
Hmm. Okay.
I can't wait for Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes. Okay.
That's about all I'm going to find out about hyphenated names tonight, I guess.
That actually...
Well, until Donovan Peoples-Jones. Maybe they'll ask him. After he picks.
They should. If anybody had any sense of curiosity out there, isn't anyone curious anymore?
We just accept it, though.
Trudy, I want more stories out of that Bach book.
Oh yeah,
like it's got some killer stuff.
Do you want stories about rocking or fucking?
Mostly fucking.
Why does he have pictures like that taken? He does that on purpose, doesn't he?
Oh,
let's see.
He's got
wood.
Coach's shorts on.
If I'm not fucking, I've got a boner.
He's the biggest show off ever.
That's he included that picture on purpose.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Let me see how he looks in the like his face look normal.
Oh yeah, that's just his.
I mean, there's nothing spectacular about the picture.
It's Tuesday.
Hey, put that picture in there because I got a boner. You can tell.
I guess
no one else has a boner.
No one else.
Just reading up on it, it sounds like Christina Applegate to get with him dumped Brad Pitt.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, what a mistake.
Wow.
Yeah.
What if she'd stayed with him and kept him away from Angelina.
Oh, maybe. Or what's her face? Who's the other one? Jennifer
Aniston. Jennifer Aniston. I don't know why. I always thought Christina Applegate was a cool chick.
She is.
And I'm disappointed to find out she would even consider sleeping with Sebastian Bach.
Well, he was huge at the time, though.
I know, but...
He was a rock star, well, man.
Did you like any of their songs?
I don't hate it. I don't own an album by Skid Row.
He's pretty. I think that's what she was attracted to. You know, they could be pretty together.
Oh, God.
To each other's hair. Yeah.
Okay.
He talks. He has a lot of comments that are actually kind of funny. Like,
no, he makes me laugh sometimes. I admit, I don't think he's all that bad a guy. He could be very funny. But.
Yeah, like talking about people calling themselves rock stars who have absolutely no entitlement to being called rock stars.
Can I see the book? It's supposed to be a good story about a coke bender with Lars.
Oh, sounds like podcast material to me. Except that nobody's rocking or fucking. What's up with that? He's doing lines while he's fucking. At least combine it with one or the other.
He's got a chapter called Bon Jovi Skid Row Tour 1989. Young, dumb, and full of cum. F-U-L-L-A-C-U-M.
Oh, God.
Oh, the term rock star has changed so very much from when I was a teenager, he writes. Now, guys with computer programs, hedge funds, managers, athletes, and even presidents are called rock stars. Well, it bugs me when a fucking dentist gets called a rock star. It bugs me when Kris Jenner calls Kim Kardashian a rock star.
Okay, I kind of agree.
And it bugs me when Kanye West calls himself a rock star. I like that.
I kind of respect what he's saying.
I was with him.
That's true.
Yeah.
The title of this chapter is Bunch of Booze, Mountains of Blowing, Quaaludes, and Tennis. My Time with Metallica.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find them.
If you're full of cum, you're not fucking enough.
Or rocking.
You need to fuck more. Cut the rocket and start doing some fucking.
That's his next book.
Yes.
I guess you know he knew Kirk when they were kids.
He knew Kirk Hammett?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I never knew James was such a giant. They were on Kimmel last night.
From Metallica?
Yeah.
You mean as in tall?
Yeah, he's like 3 feet taller than anybody else in the band. Yeah, honestly, he's like a gigundous man.
I never realized he was that big. But
because you'll only see him on the stage and usually from a distance because the stages weren't great. But.
I never know when you see somebody who's tall on a stage like that. Is it because everyone else is really short or are they really tall? Because there are a lot of short guys in entertainment.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
it's just it's just no doubt.
Oh, is only 6'1"?
He's 6'1".
Oh.
So see, there you go.
Like five foot four. Yeah.
When Sebastian got hit with a bottle.
Oh, yeah, that's how the book starts, getting hit in the face with a bottle.
Bottle incident.
Trying to kick that guy's ass.
Oh, he's pointing the guy out in the crowd.
And he jumps on him.
So what's happening with the song while he leaps out in the crowd to kick that guy's ass? There's only one excuse for not rocking and fucking. That's when you're kicking somebody's ass.
Listen, the band just keeps playing.
Oh, Axel goes head first.
Yeah,
I got to go with Axel. He goes in feet first. This is the gayest jump. Not that being gay is bad. And he's kind of kicking as he lands, too. So somebody who had nothing to do with that was getting kicked by Sebastian Bach.
Well.
Donovan Peoples-Jones chose Michigan.
Oh, looks like quite a celebration there.
You know, it's funny. I was reading the caption as he was talking. And it said, Leslie, I'd like to thank my friends and family. And I'm sitting there, Leslie? And I figured he probably said, lastly.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Captions are...
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Yeah.
Here, I'll back it up.
Oh, we got breaking news and Mort Krim back? Sweet.
Oh, wait, let me back it up. Here, yeah. He did a terrible job pulling the hats out because you could see him be amazing blue when he first pulls them out. Pot it up.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
I'd like to thank my
we don't even have the Windows reference there. Did you clip it, Jay?
Just supported me throughout this whole process.
I kind of like the
without
reference.
Without further ado, for the next 3 to 4 years, I will be enhancing
either way,
my
it doesn't matter.
Do you hear that? For the next 3 to 4 years?
Oh, of course.
So you can see it. His reveal was blown.
University of Michigan.
Who's that dude? Where'd that guy come from? Some guy just came flying from the side. It's so funny. They didn't know.
be up there in the state of Michigan. The number one overall recruit from the state of Michigan, Donovan Peoples-Jones, chooses the Wolverines.
That looks ridiculous.
No, it does not fit. He keeps trying to stuff it on his head.
He's got his hair in like
a... Michigan, what made the difference?
The education.
Well, Michigan fit every need that I wanted. Every need that I wanted coming into college, looking for different colleges, first was academics.
I'm sure. That's why he's only going for three or four. That's why he's going for three or four years.
Don't be so cynical. He's going to get his degree in 3 years, Drew.
Awaits in the future. Secondly, I want to play with the best. I believe Jim Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in college football.
I agree.
And I really think he can develop me into the receiver that I want to be.
Sure.
And third, I want it to be in a comfortable environment. I really don't feel that any college town is better than Ann Arbor.
Oh, I agree.
To go to the University of
for
Michigan.
Comfort,
a new favorite player.
Safe space.
Yeah, they have safe spaces.
And again, congratulations! A lot of smiles there.
That's the greatest decision that kid's ever made.
As Michigan being the favorite, most of your recruitment. Why did it take this long? And how close?
Because he wanted the cameras.
To
that's
actually
okay.
Choosing another school.
He wasn't even listening to the question.
It took a really long time.
Did not take a long time.
Each official visit. Was very crucial in my recruitment.
Hey.
My last official visit to the University of Michigan.
He's been in Ann Arbor a shitload.
I have a chance to do very special things there, I believe. And,
oh, please.
I think that was
get over yourself.
Look at the caption just says test,
and you believe that he has the potential to get you where you ultimately want to go.
You better go play for the Rams then.
What's that? As a CEO from some major company? Or as a football player in the NFL?
What was it like the first time you met Coach Jim Harbaugh?
All right, you want
to
hear
you shut the fucking family up?
I wanted to meet him after his success with the 49ers. You know, he's a great head coach, an even better person. So,
whoever says his 49ers success, because sing about the NFL, not Michigan.
You describe the academics as being the most important thing in Michigan.
Yeah, what course are you most excited about taking next year?
Academic
all
institution.
Of them.
Discuss your plans there academically, because I understand the medical school that Michigan has was a big part of this.
She's going to be a doctor. There is. There isn't a Scrubs.
Definitely. Well, I think Michigan had the best
Dr. Peoples-Jones.
Of all my choices.
And, okay, take Charlotte to him, Mark.
I would. Wise, if he gets his degree.
It was a very tough decision.
I have no problem.
You know, I want to respect all the coaches who have
I'm holding you to that.
As well, and all the schools.
When he becomes a doctor, sure.
She needs her tonsils out. She's going to Dr. Peoples-Jones.
Fine with me. I don't care.
Hard decision, but,
especially if he has the national championship ring on.
Oh, God. Sacrifice your child for a stupid football.
Well, obviously he has to have his degree.
And just to your right is your father, who is
I'm
going to
take him out.
What if he only gets, like, he has a 2.3 grade point average in med school?
But he got a medical degree, and he's been practicing for a while?
He had the lowest rated in the class.
Totally fine.
I met doctors who seem like they only got a 2.3.
I mean, by the way, you're
talking
about
the bad hospitals.
Talking about lowest rate at University of Michigan, so it's all relative.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. How do we break him out of this cult, Trudy?
No.
All you do is ever strengthen it.
Get the Scientology, the people who fled Scientology.
Great idea.
Yeah.
All you jive turkeys, is that what Harbaugh called all the people saying he's going to the Rams?
Turkeys, my God.
He didn't use the phrase jive turkeys.
He said jive turkeys.
The 70s call.
Okay. Hey. We started our way. Okay. Hey, Lars. It's 26 years after the gig. Can I please? Oh, he wants a copy. I guess Lars taped Sebastian Bach doing a show. We started our day going down to the CN Tower and getting drunk. Lars was in tourist mode that day. And being European probably felt the Canadian vibe.
Huh?
Up at the top of the restaurant, we went to the bar, of course, for brunch, drank a bunch of booze, and then decided to leave. The restaurant was spinning, kind of revolving 360-degree views around the city of Toronto. I don't think we realized it was motorized. Any room would have been spinning in the state we were achieving.
Oh, boy.
We made it down to the bottom of the CN Tower and drunkenly bought trinkets at a gift shop. Okay. Then they went to Gasworks, my old haunt. It was great to strut in there with a drummer, Metallica, on a hot summer day. We proceeded to the Canadian national pastime. Sit on the patio and drink beers. Where's all the blows? Yeah!
It's got to be coming, I would say, towards the late part of the evening.
I know.
I guess.
Really? Oh, here we go. This day, let's see. Rolling into Gasworks patio, I somehow let my friends know we were going to be there. Rick and my buddies from Peterborough showed up. We all started drinking. Lars, at about 3 in the afternoon, whips out a bag of cocaine, dumped it right on the table. White businessmen and families were walking past. We started snorting lines in the middle of a beautiful sunny day on a quaint Canadian terrace.
What year is this? Did you say 89?
1990. Breathing the fresh, crisp air and the pure cocaine was shoved up our faces. The owner of the establishment came up and said, "Sebastian!" He looked horrified. "Kelly, just do this right here in the middle of the table." Lars and all of us, fueled by booze, just turned and looked at him and laughed. Like this guy was going to throw out me and Lars Ulrich out of his rock and roll bar in 1990. Of course he wasn't, so we kept inhaling like Van Halen. He actually wrote
We kept inhaling like Van Halen.
Ooh, you want me to dog ear this part?
Yes, please.
Metallica had a photo session set up the next day. Okay, I'll just keep reading. Good, carry on. I'll see if I can find more blow stories with him.
When he was living in Toronto, he was in a tryout for a band, and he was trying to come through the Windsor border into Detroit.
Oh, really?
Sabo?
Sabo. And he's like pretty tall. He's like 6 foot. And he had his hair all, you know, like hair banded up. Really roostered pretty high. And they wouldn't let him in. Like, no, you're not coming in here, the United States.
I don't blame him.
Sorry.
I'm not sure if I saw him.
I don't know.
I don't want him in my country either.
How could you refuse somebody, though? Just for how they look, though, you know?
Was that really all there was to it? Was he buzzed up?
Yeah, he didn't say.
Hang with Lars?
But he was probably wearing like a leopard striped, you know, leotard.
Yeah.
And probably
one of those tie-ups like he's wearing in that poster and right. Probably untied, pubes showing. Looking very womanly.
Yeah. So the U.S. government... would not let him in.
6 foot three. Yeah. He's tall.
Mm-hmm.
So here now they're back in San Francisco with Metallica. The day after the show, me and Lars decided to hook up with Steven Tyler at San Francisco's infamous Mitchell Brothers Theater.
That's where the porn action is.
Exactly. The place where they made that movie about. That's the line in the book.
The
place they made that
behind
movie
the green door. Behind the green door, right?
No, but that's
that
a
their movie.
Why
doesn't he mention it?
I don't know. Why is that line in the book?
I can't remember. I was too busy rocking and fucking. I don't know any movie names.
Upon entry, we were handed laser pointers to highlight any nutty bits, as they say. We had some fun with that. And after the strip club, me and Lars wanted to step up the fun meter a little more. We decided to go score some blow. Lars knew the place, but it was in the shady part of town. We went driving his car and ended up at some dude's house in the middle of a residential street. Got out of the car, went up the sidewalk, exited to score. We were drunk and we were loud. Went up the stairs onto the porch. Lars knocked on the door. Nobody came. Dude, are you sure this is the right place? I helpfully inquired. Yes, Sebastian, I've been here before. I know this guy. He's got the bad shit. This is the fucking place. Knock, 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 knock. Dude, where is this guy? This is bullshit. What the fuck's going on? Knock, knock, knock. I swear it's cool. Just chill out. This guy's got some blow. Some fucking good shit too, man. Chill out. Trust me. Knock, 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 knock. Bang! The blind behind the window of the front door on the porch shoots open, and there, standing in the doorway, right in front of us, is a long-haired man in a bathrobe with a shotgun pointed right at Lars' head.
Ooh.
Holy fuck, dude, what the fuck? Come on, it's me! Who is it? What the fuck's going on? The guy says, greeting us with a hand on the trigger.
Wait, it was actually the guy? Lars is right?
Yeah, so he's he's like, who is it? What the fuck's going on? The guy says, greeting us with his hand on the trigger. Oh, Lars, right on, man. What's happening? He puts the gun down and lets us into the house.
Too cool.
Actually, he just lets Lars in. I go wait in the car.
The girl's going to have to stay in the car.
Lars returns excitedly with a bunch of coke. It's party time. Time to go back to Lars' house, talk a lot, and solve the world's problems before the sun comes up.
That's really weird, because is that what they do then?
Talk
all night long?
I guess. Oh, that would be exhausting.
Lars is cerebral.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Of course they're cranking tunes. When we got to this house, we noticed something weird. Two guys running around in the street in front of his garage. Lars says, who the fuck is that? That's weird. Having never been there before, I just had a gun pulled on me, so I didn't think it was that weird. We pulled in the garage next to his other car. We noticed that the windows were down in the other vehicle. That's weird, he says. What I thought was really weird was that he had an elevator in his house. The hill was so steep getting from the garage up to the dwelling that we got into Lars' little elevator, and we were probably elevated to the top of the hill to Lars' house. We jumped into the living room, cracked open some brews, snorted some more lines. Let's get this fucking party started! Yeah!
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
He marveled at the artwork on the walls. I guess Sebastian's dad was an artist.
Oh, yeah, his dad was. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have a picture of his mom and dad, though.
He writes,
his mom's boobs.
Oh, really?
Or like pendulums. Like, why would you be nude?
Wait, his mom is nude.
Yes.
In the book?
Yeah, there's a picture towards the beginning there of his mom and dad. They were like super hippies.
Oh, my God. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, but.
Oh, brother.
I don't care what kind of pagan you are if you're that.
I cannot wait to get my hands on this book.
Yeah.
Mark?
They were pretty much hippies.
She's pretty.
Let me see.
I can't. Well, that wasn't her titties. That was just her. I assume that was her. Am I still?
I'll be the judge of the titties.
Oh, I know you will.
Well, keep looking because you don't know exactly where they were.
I'll be the judge of the titties.
You sure she's nude in here?
Yeah, there's a picture of his dad and mom. God, yeah. He loved Ace Frehley, though. Of all the guys in Kiss.
Oh, really?
When he was like a little kid, he was 8 or 9 years old, he loved Ace.
I'll give him some credit for that.
Yeah. You know, Gene, Paul, the ones people most graduate
from. Gene and Paul played on The Voice finale.
They did?
With one of the four finalists. They did.
Really?
They sounded pretty damn good. I was kind of impressed.
They'll do anything.
Kiss, I will say this for Kiss. When they perform, they perform.
I don't know.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They do their thing.
I'll have to find those titties later.
Yeah.
No, those titties cannot wait. Titties can't wait.
Do you want me to take over looking for the titties?
Is that her? Oh, is that his mom? That's him.
Oh, boy.
That's his baby. It's weird because, you know, man. For as much as he looks like he's just as dangerous as hell, he has a tiny little baby and he was 18 when he had this baby.
Oh, he's reproduced?
Yeah.
How much reproduction has he done?
I don't know. I'm not that far along, but
18. One kid so far.
He's had one car, yeah.
So how old is
so
she
he knocked
today?
Up his high school girlfriend? Is that it?
No, he didn't finish high school.
One nighter. Oh, yeah. No. Okay.
He quit school, moved to Toronto, wanted to be in a band, and
boy.
And then he got.
Maybe his daughter's hot today, don't you think?
His girl.
Probably.
Lars has got 3 kids.
Lars does. Yeah, what about Sebastian? I would say that.
Sebastian.
Yeah, anyway, well, you know, you have to like
Sebastian is Sebastian his real name?
I guess, yeah. They got arrested in Jersey and that was on the police report.
Doesn't sound like a hippie parent name.
Sebastian's got 3.
He has 3?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How old? To say?
Don't say just 2 boys and a girl. Sebastiana is his daughter.
Oh my God.
Oh That's God. Stop. No.
Look at the other ones.
Oh,
Paris and London.
Oh, where they were conceived.
Paris, London and Sebastiana.
Philip.
B-I-E-R-K.
Oh, that's funny. The guys that were running around in his street and they thought the windows were down actually broke in and stole Lars's sweet stereo system out of his car.
Wow. Oh, no.
Of course, that's how they.
Wait, I thought Bach never went in the house. He didn't guard the stereo.
He didn't go in the drug guy's house.
Yeah. Oh. This is when you went upstairs. They were hanging out. They went back to Lars's house.
$10 million?
Yeah, celebrity net worth. Sebastian Bach, $10 million.
Wow. Well, this book.
That's not bad for somebody who had minimum. Well, he had success for a short time. You'd think he would have blown his money by now.
Yeah, yeah. And now the book is going to help.
He seems like the type that would keep spending at the same rate that he was spending at when he's making the most money in his life until he ran out of money.
And, yeah.
And then we'll go, oh, wow, what happened?
Definitely. Yeah.
Lars, $220
million.
Whoa. Sebastian.
My accountant says there don't have any money left. What the fuck?
So they're in Lars's house, and he's talking about the painting. He writes, I was blown away by the art and the blow. He sat up all night doing coke, drinking, listening to music, and talking a lot. Lars, too. Sebastian Bach. And
how would you like, to write
now? I own cocaine.
How would you like to be forced to listen to that entire conversation right now?
Oh, my God. The eye rolling would kill me.
Actually, if they were on the other side of glass and we could observe and comment on it, I might enjoy it.
You want
it.
An idea of what they talked about, Drew?
Yeah, sure.
Lars was bragging to me about the stereo he had in his car. Not the one we came home in, but the other one in the garage. He told me that this was the most insane car stereo ever invented by human beings. The amplifiers and speakers are the most powerful known to man, he declared. The small Danish enthusiast that he is. Suggested we get some beers, take the elevator down to the garage, and check out some merciful fate in the car. I was totally into the scene. We got off the elevator, stepped back into the garage, laughing, drinking, and having fun. Got into the car, shut the door. Lars puts in the CD and says, wait till you fucking hear this. He turns the stereo on. I look at the dashboard. It was all lit up. I braced myself for some heavy metal onslaught that was about to shatter my brain. You're not gonna believe this, Lars says in his Arnold Schwarzenegger high on crack accent. This is the most unbelievable new speaker in the world for heavy metal music. He turns it louder and louder and louder and louder, but nothing. No sound.
Oh, it was stolen?
He looks at me.
Stolen?
"What the fuck?" he says. Then turning around, Lars looks in the backseat of the car and notices the two backseat windows are not rolled down. They're actually smashed in.
Oh, fuck.
And where, once lived, the most valuable, loudest, most important heavy metal speaker of all time was now just a hole in the wall of his car with wires hanging down of it.
Oh, ouch.
Wow. Well, oh, it's 220 million.
Yeah, the nice thing is that Lars could the next day go back to whoever put it in and say, put another one in right now.
Well, he says we just looked at each other and laughed.
Oh, yeah.
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 When you have $220 million, yeah. That's, those things are funny.
Sure.
We just kept on laughing, drinking beers, and saying, Jesus fucking Christ, can you believe this shit?
Wow. It's a hard knock life.
I love that he directly quotes these moments.
We stumbled out of the car, onto the elevator, back up the hill to do more blow, drink more, and play some more rock and roll. Yeah. Wow. Oof. They were up till the afternoon.
Lordy, lordy.
Wow.
This book is awesome.
Yeah, it's gold.
Here you go, Drew.
I can tell. Hey, how about today in rock? Just to round off the conversation.
If only if there's more Sebastian Bach.
I may have to make some up. Today will be, when you're listening to this, December the 15th, which means it was...
I guess there's a story about him going to a strip club with Kid Rock, too.
Oh, okay. So. I had to read that before tomorrow.
I read it all for you.
Thank you.
1969, John Lennon played his last UK gig. I was going to say that wasn't true because the Beatles played on the roof of Abbey Road, but that was in January of 69. So, yes, I'll agree with this for now. A UNICEF Peace for Christmas benefit with George Harrison, Eric Clapton, Delaney and Bonnie, Billy Preston, and Keith Moon. Man, I want to see that show.
I want to see that
show. I want to see that. Well, we're right there, Trudy. 1977, the Sex Pistols were denied entry to the USA 2 days before a scheduled NBC TV appearance. Who would that have been with? Would that have been Tom Snyder, maybe?
No, he's SNL. They were going to be on Saturday Night.
Oh, they were going to be on Saturday Night Live. Oh, yeah. Okay, they didn't say. Johnny Rotten due to a drug conviction, Paul Cook and Sid Vicious because of moral turpitude, and Steve Jones had a criminal record. All four of them denied entry.
They let him in eventually.
Yeah, they did, because they did a whole tour. Yeah. Mostly the Southwest, which is bizarre. Of all the places to go in the U.S.
Yeah, you wouldn't think there'd be an audience there for the Sex Pistols. But they were the Sex Pistols. What do you expect from them?
A lot of
moral turpitude.
Yeah. 1979, Pink Floyd started 5 weeks at number one in the UK charts with Another Brick in the Wall, their only number one single. It was the final number one of the 70s, by the way, and also nominated for Best Performance as a Group or Duo, but lost to Bob Seger's Against the Wind.
Oh,
I know. Wow. Not Bob Seger's rocking his tune, but... 1984, Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid was released, an international number one, of course, on both sides.
I hate that song.
I know. It's... I prefer it to We Are the World, which...
Well, I don't know. The Eagles were egos were checked at the door.
That's right. I don't know if egos were checked at the door for Do They Know It's Christmas. I'm not sure.
Do they observe Christmas? Should have been the question there. Cause...
Do they even observe
Well, that was the point.
Christmas at all.
1988, James Brown sentenced to 6 years in prison for that multi-state rampage in his Ford truck. Yep.
That was the most badass thing that has ever happened.
That was wild. 6 years, and the main charges were possession of weapons and resisting arrest, but they dropped a lot of stuff because originally it started out with him shooting up his wife's closet, shooting up her clothes, her furs and all that.
Right.
Okay.
Because why was he pissed at her? Anyway, he ran down to his office and busted in on an insurance company next door and accused the entire... He just went in there and said somebody had used his personal bathroom in his office. Which these people were like, are you kidding? What are you talking about? But he put a gun... He had a gun with him, a loaded weapon. Mm-hmm. And then he shot at his wife while she was driving away because she had come to calm him down, apparently, and was unable to. So she's driving away, probably peeling rubber out of the joint and shooting his weapon at her. And then by the time the police had been called, and he took off in his Ford truck.
An F-150.
Yeah, it was an F-150, absolutely. Yeah. 1990, Rod Stewart.
Didn't he talk to him, and didn't he say something about Ford trucks are tough?
Yeah, Ford trucks are tough. Yeah. He also said he did his good foot dance when they pulled him over. Yeah. And finally, he stopped in a driveway, I think, and he got out and did his good foot dance.
But he was on rims by then. That was the part I thought was most miraculous, that he could drive as far as he did on rims.
He drove a long way on the rims. He drove like 4 miles on the rims. And there were sparks coming up.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that really why we need police body cameras?
So yeah, to catch something like the that. Good absolutely. I know. What a disappointment. Why couldn't that have been in 2008? 1990, Rod Stewart married Rachel Hunter. I finally found the girl I want, he said. Unfortunately, they were divorced in 1999.
Nah.
Oof. 1997, Spice World, the movie,
sweet,
premiered at the Leicester Square in London. It was nominated for a Razzie for Worst Movie.
Have you seen that movie?
I never did see it. Did you
see
it?
It's pretty ridiculous.
I'm sure it sucks.
It's one of those that's honestly so bad, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Did you like the Spice Girls, though, at all?
Love them.
Like, any of their videos or anything?
I didn't get it, I guess. didn't hit me in the wheelhouse,
no.
Unfortunately.
What?
No, I don't know. I would like to see the movie, though.
Not even because they were cute.
They were cute. Yeah. I agree. 1999, Boy George knocked unconscious when a mirror ball fell on his head during a show.
Who? Wait, who?
Boy George. Man, would I like to see that.
I'd love to see that.
A mirror ball falling on his head and knocking him unconscious during a show? How awesome. 2 years later, Joe Walsh received an honorary degree, an honorary doctorate of music from Kent State. Well, he went to Kent State for a couple years back in the 60s.
Yeah.
2003, Courtney Love sentenced to 18 months in drug rehab after she admitted being under the influence of cocaine and opiates.
When she sucked some guys, or had some guys suck her titty at Wendy's?
Yeah. Might have been around that time.
What was the year?
2003?
God, it might have been,
it was
actually.
A homeless guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wendy's. Yeah. Right.
You're going into rehab.
I watched a little of that. what was the Kurt Cobain movie that came out last year?
On HBO.
Oh, yeah, the documentary.
Yeah, it's,
yeah. It's a really weird good. Title, but them together, and I just could not believe that they would decide to have a child.
I know.
To be pregnant.
That had to be an accident.
They
had
were
to
so
be.
Horrible.
They were. I don't know, I don't even like reading about them. It depresses me.
Yeah, they're like gross, too.
2004 was the...
Yeah, so it wasn't that stretch.
Yeah.
2008, Madonna's divorce from Guy Ritchie was finalized. He got $50 million. I didn't know that. I mean, I would assume he got something, because she obviously had more money, significantly.
How much did that country get for stealing David?
Oh, Namibia.
Oh,
Namibia.
Good question.
For stealing David.
Nothing. Yeah, she did.
Changing
she
his name to David.
Took his kid away. She said, oh, your kid is so cute. He's my kid. Give
Yoink.
It. I think your kid is so cute that I want to be my kid. birthdays, Max Yasger was born on this day in 1919. He's not alive. He died in 73, but he was the owner of the Woodstock Farm.
Cool.
And was a pretty cool guy. Sounded like an amazing guy, actually. He hung in there. Can you imagine when you agreed to let somebody have a concert on your farm and it turned into that?
I know.
And you're going, no more people! No, this is crazy! No, he didn't. He just rolled with it.
Gentlemen with us. It's the gentleman upon whose farm we are, Mr. Max Yasger.
Yeah! There's
oh
Max.
My God.
Look at him, he's smiling. There's 400,000 people at his farm and he's smiling.
He's chilled. Can you imagine how many people come to your party? Now that's a good party.
He's digging it.
Yeah.
He's eating it up. Max Yasger. Say something, Max.
Don't eat the brown acid.
I'm a farmer. I don't know.
Farming! Yasger!
I don't know how to speak to 20 people at one time, let alone a crowd like this.
Yeah, a crowd like this.
But I think you people have proven something to the world. Not only to town of Bethel or Sullivan County or New York State, you've proven something to the world. This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Is that true?
What?
Whoa!
What's your source, Max?
We have had no idea that there would be this size group. And because of that, you've had quite a few inconveniences as far as water and food and so forth. Your producers have done a mammoth job to see that you're taken care of. They enjoy a vote of thanks.
Let's start rocking.
Or shut the fuck up! Play some music!
But above that, the important thing that you've proven to the world is that 500,000 kids, and I call you kids because I have children now than you are, 500,000 young people can get together and have 3 days of fun and music, and have nothing but fun and music, and I God bless you for it.
Now get off my lawn!
What if you ended
the
it with
stage, old man?
Ended it with that joke.
That would have been good. That would have been strong. A good ending.
The Who getting ready to go on there?
Oh, was it? Sweet. How do you know who we're next? Is that for real?
I thought I saw Roger Daltrey's head.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No.
That's oh, it was that guy? Oh my God, that dude's woolly.
Yeah, he is.
My God,
that's a head of hair right there.
Wow.
Alan Freed, also born on this day, the DJ that welcomed the Beatles to America, also busted for payola, big time twice. Died in 1965.
You coined rock and roll.
Destitute. Yeah, he did. That's right. Nice. Cindy really Birdsong.
Really? Come on.
Born on this day in 1939, she replaced Florence Ballard in the Supremes. She came from LaBelle and the Bluebells. Did you know that?
No.
She was with Patti LaBelle, apparently.
Was she not allowed to look at Diana Ross, though, or something?
No one can look at Diana Ross. No one! You can't even look at me while talking about Diana Ross. I'm talking about it, you can't look at me. Dave Clark, born on this day in 1942, from the Dave Clark Five. Mm. Two number ones. Carmen Appice, the Vanilla Fudge drummer. Drummed in some other bands, too. Don Johnson's birthday today.
Yay. And his crank.
Yeah, and his crank. He and his crank are both 66 years, 67 years old. And Paul Simonon of the Clash, the bass player from the Clash, Paul Simonon, born in the stand 55. And that's it. And I know, Mark, before we quit, you have an important pubic hair story you want to share.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's some science regarding pubes. Right? Okay. It doesn't like science.
I don't know if you're the right person to read this story because you have such a negative attitude.
This comes from one of the most upstanding universities in the world, Bristol University in England, home of the Bristol Stool Scale.
Oh,
really? Bristol Stool Scale?
Very familiar with it.
Trudy, do you know the Bristol Stool Scale?
From South Park?
Trudy's heard it from us.
No,
she wants to not remember it, but
a researcher actually came up with a scale of what your feces is supposed to look like. We always laugh that it was named after the school where it was developed and not him, because scientists usually name stuff after themselves. But then it wanted to be the, you know, the Daniel Stool Scale. He'd rather have it be the
Bristol Stool. Yeah, he doesn't want it named after him.
So two female students have tackled one of society's last taboos with a survey of pubic hair preferences amongst fellow women.
Hmm.
Sweet.
Uh-oh.
They had women draw pictures of their choice on a whiteboard called How Do You Shape Your Bush? The majority said they prefer a Hollywood, which I never knew this had a name, that's the removal of all hair, or a Brazilian, the removal of all but a strip of pubic hair.
In what shape?
Well, just a strip. That's what's preferred.
Only
one
strip.
Only one gross student said she kept hers natural shape, preferring just to give it a little trim. All the women said they based their hairstyle on their own preferences, but many admitted they also considered the opinions of sexual partners. One said, I usually go for
not a
nice,
bad idea.
Nice, neat landing strip. Another added, I think of it as a nice little decorative piece of my bare naked body. But some voiced worries over the porn industry forcing their choices. A fellow student added, the porn industry does alter thoughts on women's view on women. There's an expectation from guys that there only be a little bit of hair there. Is that the porn industry?
Well, not to mention that porn industry would lead women to believe that sex ends in one particular way all the time.
Yes. It does. What? Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Which way?
Always happen?
What? Yeah.
That was supposed to
end? I thought so. What? Jake, do you want? Can you pull up the video? I didn't know there was a video. How do you shape your bush?
I'm grooming. You know, they need to come up with better tools for that.
To groom?
Yes.
I know. You would think there would be some specific item in the drugstore.
Right, not just the one you use on your legs.
Because you don't want your beard trimmer.
Yeah. Well,
on your pube?
Not really.
Well, plus the hair's coarser down there. Todd coarser. Your hair's a little coarser down
Todd
there.
Coarser.
It's a little coarser.
I think if you're whipping your cock out around town.
Pubes are a little more wired. If you're whipping your cock around town. Stuff like that.
I thought we were talking about Todd Coarser.
You serious?
Who has put pubic hair on my coat?
My pubes aren't wiry. Are you serious? What are you talking about?
Only Joe DiMaggio's aren't wiry.
You're scaring me, Todd.
Joe DiMaggio's are like silky smooth and straight.
You have way too much pubic hair.
That is the freakiest picture.
Did you find the video?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Wow. This
is that real.
100 things happening.
Are Jay and Mark fucking with us, or is this really happening?
Oh, it is.
It's a video called How Do You Shape Your Bush?
Scientific.
How do you shape your bush?
Oh, yeah, I love the music.
Oh, hers is huge. Hers is huge.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been asked these questions publicly before.
Ball.
I don't know what to say. That's a really strange question.
They just go out.
This is actually so embarrassing.
Gosh, this is quite intimidating. Trimmer. No shaping required.
It depends on the season.
I tend to do a Brazilian because I used to do Hollywood with it all off, but I actually.
Well, she knows a little too much. I think she's a skank.
Everything off.
I go for a Hollywood wax.
Yeah. Wow, I never.
Well, I usually go for a nice, neat little landing strip.
Just gone. Just like if I'm going on holiday or whatever, just get a bikini wax. Everything gone.
Oh, all off.
Yeah.
So I'd say I go for a little bit bigger than a Brazilian, a small bush, and I trim it. And why do I do it? I think probably because
spends a lot of time on it. That's for sure.
I just think that it's a nice little decorative piece on my bare naked body. I think it's nicer.
Yeah, you take off
dating. I definitely think in the past it has been something that has affected me how men view it.
It's not criminal to have a bush.
Now I'd say
not a crime yet.
That girl said she shaved. I just said it took forever.
For it myself, it's more like comfortable. And, yeah.
I think it is bad that we actually take into consideration what men think about this because it's our body.
Of course.
Like oh, get over yourself, chief. She can go to hell.
I think guys' preference.
I don't want anything to do with your bush, honey.
I think there is an expectation. Well, from what I've perceived anyway, hopefully not, but I think there's an expectation from guys that that there should be a little amount of hair there. And I think a lot of girls are quite conscious about that, which I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
This is pre-wax.
Oh, she did a visual aid. She has an eraser handy. That was actually funny. I like the girl. I like her sense of humor. Oh, come on, Mark. It's like the tiniest little V.
Wow.
Like 80% of it was gone.
Hey, the science shows most of them are Hollywood or Brazilian.
Wouldn't it be kind of crazy to go around and make movies like that? That
filmmaker
upbeat.
Definitely had fun.
Well, it was two chicks that did it. I mean, can you imagine a guy going, hey, tell me about your bush. I'm doing a movie. It's a little creepy.
Yeah, I would imagine you got some pretty freaky looks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we are done with part two. I don't know what else there is to say other than that the holidays are coming up, and I don't know when we're coming back.
Oh,
Trudy, you sound so sad. You're going to miss the show.
I am.
That's good.
Yeah, well, I wasn't here last Thursday, so.
You're one of our regular listeners. When you're not here, you even listen.
I do. Yeah.
So what's on the podcast tomorrow, Trudy, on 94.7 WCSX?
Oh, it will be Sebastian Bach.
Oh, that's right.
And today was Stephen Adler's mother.
Oh, we want to get Stephen Adler's mother, Trudy.
Yeah, definitely.
How do we get her?
I'll give you the info tomorrow for contacting her. She's really, really good.
Does she sound like a regular mom or like Stephen Adler's mom?
Well, I remember Steven Adler when he was on Celebrity
Rehab. Yeah.
So she sounds like a more regular person than he. But she sounds like she might have been a little wild or something. She counts herself as the very first Guns N' Roses fan.
What is his current state, by the way? The last time.
He's in good shape.
Just wondering.
Yeah, she said he had a heart attack and a stroke in addition to.
I remember that.
Taking an entire bottle of Valium and drinking a whole bottle of Jägermeister, which would have killed most people.
What?
You want to know what he's doing now?
Yeah, what's he doing?
He plays drums for a Guns N' Roses cover band.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But he's sober. You know?
That's true, which is a big achievement for him.
And he lived.
Yeah.
And I remember him.
Wait, the bottle of Valium and the Jägermeister on top of it.
Yeah.
Was he trying to get a buzz?
There were a couple of suicide attempts, but he didn't. I think he just wanted to sleep. Maybe he was trying to kill himself. I don't know.
Wow, that'd be a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
Like forever.
But, you know,
that's his mom?
Yep.
She's kind of cute.
Oh.
The same doctor who.
I definitely see the resemblance. He's got a huge mouth.
Oh.
The same doctor who supposedly remembered...
A lot of teeth, too.
Yeah, for sure. The doctor who flew to Prince, you know, hoping that he could somehow...
Oh, yeah, that missed him by one day.
That guy.
Yeah.
Prescribed Stephen Adler's drugs. a crap load of really bad drugs.
Oh, really?
When he was already an addict, and so he prescribed all these other drugs, she was
like, "What?" That,
she says this in her book, like,
"Aspirin again."
Are you gay?
Yes, just thousands of dollars.
Are you gay, man?
You know,
are you bi? Sorry. What, like drugs to get him off drugs?
Well,
to go with his drugs?
Like antidepressants and things like that. But those are crap drugs, opiates and things like that, on top of what he did, you know, with Guns N' Roses, which, by the way, didn't we do a show one time where we couldn't believe that he got thrown out of Guns N' Roses?
Oh, well, I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Drugs.
Yeah. Well, Izzy Stradlin was the first one to get thrown out.
Yeah.
Izzy was the one. Dennis Miller used to always do that joke about how you get kicked out of Guns N' Roses. It is incredible.
Yeah, but you know that guy put him on so many things and Klonopin and all kinds of other things. He couldn't even think straight.
Yeah,
so.
Klonopin's a lot of people have problems with Klonopin.
Yeah.
What was Steven Adler? What was his drug of choice? It was heroin, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. When he was on rehab, it was
alcohol. And
Yeah, alcohol too. Boy, that's
That's funny. Alcohol just doesn't seem. Not a big deal because he's on heroin, you know, but you're right.
True.
No, you do the both of them together. It's amazing he didn't, you know, just never wake up again. Because it depresses your breathing. But
and weren't the heart attack and the stroke, was he off drugs when he had those?
I don't know that part. She just kind of glossed over all the things that he had been through, and I don't have the book yet.
Oh, bummer.
It was one of those deals where they didn't send it.
He seemed like...
The interview?
When he was sober, and don't you love interview subjects like that?
Yeah, then you get to read all the questions you didn't ask.
And then they say, didn't you read the book? My God, I'm surprised you don't know that. You're like, well, you didn't send it to me.
I did mention, you know, I thought the person who was coordinating the phone call had left the line, and I was like, would it be nice if you had sent the book? And she goes, oh, sorry.
Oh, was it one of those three-way phone calls?
Yeah, it was like an intermediate hooked it up.
And, oh, boy. Yeah, so. Yeah, you have to. Those people are always listening.
I know.
Oh yeah.
We've had a few. Third-party incidents. Oh boy.
Yeah. So, but she was cool, and she does hang out here. She's got a friend in Rochester. So
sweet.
Maybe she'll come and be on the podcast. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be all right.
Yeah.
She had a lot of stories to tell, I bet.
Oh yeah.
So I wonder, is the book, is it primarily about like getting him right, or is it about his whole being
his
mom?
It's about that, and it's about being on Dr. Drew's show, and it's about some of it sounds like it's, you know, about fun stuff like being with the band and,
yeah,
you know, hanging out with the guys.
Well, she's smart. If she did, it does include that. That makes it more readable, I would think.
It's not all about that, but that was the line that I think that's the one they're using to promote it.
I'm trying to think. I know I've read a few books by mothers of... Let's see. Oh, I read Nancy Spungen's mother's book.
Oh, right.
Which was, wow. Oh, my God. She put those people through hell.
Yep.
That kid was so fucked up. I mean, from the time she was 4 years old or something, she was crazy.
Imagine thinking, she'll grow out of this.
Yeah,
she'll
they just kept grow thinking. Out of it. She really gave up on her.
Tell myself that every day.
You know, Charlotte is so
terrible.
Crazy.
She's precocious. She's tall.
I know.
Is Charlotte tall?
Really tall, yeah.
99 percentile for height.
So, really?
Wow.
She could play hoops?
Yeah.
You know what? She has, like, no interest in sports stuff
she's
yet.
She's two. I mean, give her time.
She likes princesses and dancing and all that crap.
So you should get her those pants that were on Amazon that have the cannabis prints on them.
What? For kids?
Yeah, cannabis prints for kids.
Cannabis pants? Right. Cannabis pants for kids? What a great idea.
Oh, that's fine.
They took them down right away because
medical
lost their shit.
Oh, you know who else's book I read was... Wait. Still coming. Oh, Amy Winehouse's mother.
Oh.
Oh, wow, really?
That was a tough book to read.
Well, that documentary is just... So sad.
No, it's really good. Well done, though. I mean, as far as
such a dick.
Being a viewer.
Remember her dad exploiting Amy Winehouse? Remember dad exploiting her down when she was in she was in the Caribbean island trying to get all clean?
Yep.
Oh, he drove her back to drugs?
He's quite a dick.
Oh, wow.
Well, they just have an argument between them on camera, and her whole thing is like, I don't want to be Amy Winehouse right now.
Yeah, no, you want to.
Well, her, she.
You are.
That's a great documentary.
Amy Winehouse really tried to make her mom, she really tried to torture her mom quite a bit when she was messed up. She kept sort of taking on these surrogate mothers, you know, like, she's like a mom to me, you know. And she made it very much apparent to her mother that these people sort of stood for that for her, sort of to say, like, you're such a shitty mom that, you know, I need this person.
That's nice.
Yeah. And her mother was actually doing everything in her power to help this kid. And there was no helping her. She was, I don't think, of all the people I've read about, she seems the most hopeless to me.
Really?
Amy? I mean, a lot of people that have that happen, you say, oh, well, they had a screwed up night. They mixed this and they shouldn't have. And, you know, it's too bad because they could have made it. And she's one that just, it seemed like it was destined to that to happen.
You know what? Dr. Roche turned me on to the documentary series Died Too Young.
Oh, what's that?
Really?
It's just a series of all these people who, like Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, like the 27 Club?
The 27 Club, yeah. It's on.
I was so bummed when I turned 28 because I can't be in the 27 Club. That sucks, man.
It's on, is it on HBO? Wow. No, Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And
the only reason I didn't watch it was because I didn't know, like, which person I was going to be seeing. It's just, it is a series, right?
Yeah,
a bunch of episodes? Okay.
Yeah. And the first one was Heath Ledger.
Oh, okay.
Which was,
what's it called again, Trudy? I'm sorry.
I think it's Died Too Young.
Yeah, Died Too Young. Yeah,
I typed like in that. Gone Too Soon, which is a Michael Jackson song.
But Heath Ledger, they just prescribed him something and then he took something.
He took everything.
He wasn't suicidal or anything. His dad was so cool.
Yeah, that shouldn't have happened. That was just a fuck
That's
up.
That's a sad
and I didn't realize he produced all of these rock videos. You know, for all these rock bands, he was
Ledger
really,
did?
Yeah, he's
Ledger,
and a great photographer. I mean, he was such a multi-talented individual.
I always liked his wife too.
Yeah,
what's her name?
Michelle Williams.
Yeah, she's really, isn't she pretty?
Yeah, she's beautiful, and their kid is going to be obviously
too young to die.
Oh, it's too young to die.
Yeah. Jay just had the book up, which is How I Lost My Son to Guns N' Roses.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All good stuff for Christmas or whatever.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. So, I'm thinking we're going to take at least a couple days now, and then maybe what I was thinking, though, is if something comes up, if there's a big story.
See you
on call.
Pop on.
Call?
Yeah, we're on call. We're on call.
Like doctors.
Yes.
Cool.
And I'm the one with the pager that always goes off, and I might try and get a couple of the guys to carry Kate.
Alert the team, put out the bat light.
It's not... It's not mandatory attendance. It's optional. But we'll see. I mean, unless Jay can't make it. Jay's not optional.
That's true.
Jay's the only mandatory one, yeah.
So there. Sweet Child of Mine. Oh, that's her YouTube page? Sweet Child of Mine, book episode one. Oh, cool. All right.
Okay, cool.
So, 94.7 WCSX for Trudy tomorrow. And the podcast, Trudy and Jib, 6 to 10. And we'll see you when we see you. So see ya.
See ya.